Well, what started as a pretty different week for the Padres with a rare weather postponement became even more weird when COVID positives basically took out multiple starting players for today and yesterday. There were a ton of questions coming into today, like who was going to be on the team, what the lineup was going to look like, how many guys were they going to pull from AAA. Well, we got all of our answers today, and the Padres split with the Rockies in the doubleheader. The Rockies win the second game 3-2. The Padres won the first game, and they won yesterday. So they win the series, but they do not win this game. You know, there's lots to talk about tonight. So if you want to join us, 833-288-0973. I put on Twitter that I am your therapist tonight. If you need to talk about anything, if you need me to roll out the couch, please come and sit on the couch and let me know how everything is going in your head. Because Blake Snell, he looked like the Blake Snell we have come to know in a Padres uniform. And there were also some base running mistakes in game two. You have Caratini, which may or may not have been a mistake, where Raimel Tapia may have just pulled a fast one and let the ball drop in front of him so that he could get Caratini out at third. But you have Trent Grisham attempting to steal third base and getting caught right there, and that's probably the biggest point of the game, in my opinion. I know that people are blaming the umpires for the Cronenworth out call, which, you know, it was going to be hard to overturn from the beginning, so I don't really blame the umpires for sticking with the call. And I'm very curious. We're waiting on Jace Tingler to speak to the media right now, and the first thing I told Thomas was, as soon as he lets us know, you know, about Trent Grisham attempting to steal third, I need to know, because that, if that was a called play, then we'll talk about it. But if that was something that Trent Grisham did on his own, we heard that he did the bunt in the first game that ended up tying the game, which ended up being brilliant. But he tried to steal third in this game, and it didn't work out for the Padres, and it ultimately ended up losing the game for them. So I'm very curious to hear what was said in the post-game press conference about that. But, I mean, where should we start? And Jace Tingler, I'm also seeing a lot on social media about how this is all on Jace. I mean, what do you want the guy to do? He's got half of a team. A lot of his guys went out on COVID. You got Eric Hosmer. You got Fernando Tatis Jr. You got Will Myers. You got a couple other guys that are not there with the team because of a COVID positive. So they were putting together a pretty raggedy team to begin with today, and I'm even surprised that they split the series today. This is the Rockies aren't a good team, but they're still a professional baseball team. They're still going to show up, and they had all of their players. So I don't want to hear about Jace Tingler being blamed for this one. I don't want to hear about any of that. You know, we've said it a million times, especially on Gwynn and Chris. We've said it so many times. It's a really long season. And yes, you can't be losing games like this. But at the end of the day, when you're at least splitting or you're at least going to extra innings with the Rockies with a shoestring lineup, then I don't see a problem with what happened today. I don't see how this could be Jace Tingler's fault whatsoever. And again, it could all change if Jace Tingler called that steal to third from Trent Grisham. Who knows? We'll see. We're going to check in with him. The Padres, they moved to 21-17 after this loss tonight, and the Rockies moved to 13-24. You just kind of got that feeling from the beginning today that it was going to be a weird one with Blake Snell. I don't know what else to say about Blake Snell and how he's pitching for the Padres. He went four innings tonight. He struck out seven, but he gave up five hits, and he gave up a home run to Josh Fuentes, which was a two-run home run. And then Josh Fuentes at the end of the game ended up coming through with the walk-off hit. So he's going to be having a good night there in Colorado. Blake Snell, though, on 84 pitches, he had 53 strikes. He found himself in a lot of trouble early on in the game, and that seems like it's been kind of a trend for him, and I'm not sure why that is, and I've listened to a lot of people talk about what's going on with Blake Snell. I've read a lot of things that people have written about what's going on with Blake Snell, and I don't think anybody really knows what's going on with Blake Snell until he's the only person who knows what's going on with him, and he's trying to find it. Four innings, though, in a game where you're only playing seven innings, and your bullpen is so important to the team like the bullpen is for the Padres, he has to go more than four innings. He just has to. 84 pitches is a lot for four innings. See, I think he was at like 72 when he entered the fourth inning. So that's not something that's going to get easier as time comes through the season. He needs to figure it out, and with only one win on the year, it's not what we expected when they traded for him early. I think it was in December when they traded for him. And I don't want to come down on Blake Snell too hard because he still struck out seven. He only gave up two runs. But when you're in a game like this, and who thought there was going to be a pitcher's duel in both games at Coors Field? It's pretty crazy. And everything about this series was just weird. It seems like every time the Padres go to Coors Field, it's very strange. Something weird happens, whether it's like bees or whether it's like a broken sprinkler in the outfield or whatever it is. They're scoring 90 runs over a four-day stretch. Things are just weird. Things are very weird whenever the Padres go to Colorado. So if you have anything that you want to say about tonight, if you liked what you saw from Trent Grisham trying to take third, I want to hear from you. If you didn't, I want to hear from you. 833-288-0973. I guess I should also say my name. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. We're waiting for Jace Tingler right now to speak with the media. I don't know that he has sat down just yet, but we will bring that to you as quickly as possible. Nick Ramirez will take the loss for the Padres, which stinks for him because he came in at the end of the game. But that's what happens. We talked about it on Gwynn and Chris about how pitchers get wins if they go at least five innings, and then whoever pitches best gets the win going forward. But whoever loses the game, they already know who the pitcher to get the loss would be, and that is Nick Ramirez, and he goes to 0-1 on the season. Thomas, how are we looking over there? Has he sat down yet? He's about to sit down, so I think I'm going to keep it right here. We have a couple callers on the line. We're going to, Thomas is going to get you on hold right now, and then we'll go to you, and then we'll hear from Jace Tingler. We also have our game highlights coming up. We also have Coach John Katera is going to be coming on. We have the play of the game. We have the player of the game. We have a lot to go here in the postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. If you want to hit us up on Twitter as well, you can, at 97.3 The Fan SD and at Matt Scraby. So we are going to go and take a call real quick. Let's go to, I believe this is Colin. Colin, are you on the line? Hello, Colin. All right. Who's the second one? Hello, who are you? All it says on our call screener is Force. All right, I don't know that the phones are working, so we're going to go away from that. I'm seeing here the Jesse and Tony were talking about it on the broadcast about why Drew Pomeranz wasn't able to come into the game. Jace Tingler said that he is a little sore and was unavailable today. He also added that Pomeranz has some tightness in his lat area, so that is why he did not come out and pitch tonight, and that is why Nick Ramirez was in the game. So we're still waiting on Jace Tingler, but I'm going to call for this caller. Hello, Force. I'm not sure what's going on with the phones. Hello, Force. Are you there? All right, we're going to stop taking calls until we can figure out what's going on with the phones, but I'm going to need you to help me, Thomas. Should I go to break, or should we wait a little bit longer? All right, we're going to wait a little bit longer. Let me go over some of these stats from today's game. Manny Machado, you know, yesterday he had his 5 RBI night, and he had the home run, and he had the triple and all that stuff. Well, tonight he walked twice. He in four plate appearances. So I'm getting the thumbs up. All right, I'm not going to stall any longer because I'm pretty sure everybody out there wants to hear from Jace Tingler over hearing from me. So let's do that and find out what Jace Tingler had to tell the media after the game.
Let's take a trip down to the Padres clubhouse and hear from the manager, Jace Tingler. Presented by Sinley Food. Find your next cooking adventure at Sinley Food. 4665 El Cajon Boulevard. The Cook's Asian Resource.
Hey, Jace, I'm going to start from the back of the game and move forward. First of all, the play at home plate. I assume the challenge was that the catcher was set up and not giving the runner a lane. Is that correct? And I assume New York thought that he did give him a lane, or can you clarify?
That's what we were checking, and if he gets in right there,
no sliding lane, because theoretically you don't have time to give a lane. And I had the infield back. Actually, I had him halfway in the third baseman back. Ryan, you know, had him in. And that's what I was checking. If there was a sliding lane, if the infield was back. Ryan was adamant they were in. And then obviously it went to New York and I didn't get, you know, they don't give you an explanation or anything like that. So, but that's what we were checking, the sliding lane.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you at first. So you're saying the sliding lane was determinant based on where the...
Is there a mic here? Like, where's the... Okay. Yeah, that's what we were checking to see if there was a sliding lane. Now, if the infield's in, that rule goes away, because there's not time for a ground ball in the infield. And that's what I was checking to see if he had the infield back. That's what I actually had him at halfway, but I had the third baseman back in the middle infield. But like I said, they don't give you an explanation or anything, after the call.
That's interesting, not to get too deep into the weeds on that, but is that subjective in terms of if you have the corners in but the middle back versus the middle in, and the how do you determine whether it's in or not?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I thought they were halfway, and I thought they were, back, certainly on the corners.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Next would be Trent Grisham. Is there a way to justify the risk reward decision on that to steal third in that situation?
Yeah, we preach aggressiveness, and we're going to learn from it. In that situation, the last thing we want to do is take the bat out of Manny's hands, right there. And also too, with where we're at right now, we're five position players short, so we're not quite as deep. And probably even if we get that bag, they we open up a base at first. They probably end up walking Manny. And so again, we're we preach aggressiveness. At the same time, we're going to learn from those mistakes and move forward.
Blake Snell, it was sort of a mixed outing today. There were times where he pitched aggressively with the fastball in the third and fourth inning a little bit more, but early on it looked like he was really struggling with control and using a lot of off-speed pitches. How did you assess that, the outing overall?
I thought you were spot on. I thought if there was a highlight, it was the third and the fourth inning. I thought he was much aggressive. I thought he pitched with his fastball really well in the third and fourth, and hopefully that's one to build on. Seven-inning game here. We're doing everything we can to score runs, so ultimately that's why he went four today. His spot came up, and I think the way he was going in the third and fourth, he probably could have grabbed another one, but we were scrapping for runs.
Thank you, Jace.
Have a nice day.
Hey, Jace, was Pomeranz down, and if so, why?
He's down,
and he hadn't pitched since Sunday, so just is he okay?
Yeah, he's a little sore, so he was down today.
Is that his shoulder, forearm? What?
We'll get back and take a look, but it's kind of tightness just around the lat area right now, and so he was. We thought he may be able to go today, because like you said, he'd had some days off and. He went to throw early today, and there was still a little bit of tightness there, so he was down.
Jace, what is it going to take for you to be successful during this stretch when you're shorthanded?
Yeah, I thought, it's frustrating, because we fight so hard to get back, and then, just kind of the weird, it was either the sixth, the seventh when we got it going, and Crony flares that ball in, and just kind of play. Victor thought he was going to catch it, and went back, and so I think that to answer your question, that's what we got to have. Just the guys kind of scrapping together. We kept fighting, and unfortunately, we've made some mistakes on the base paths, and you know, yeah, if we don't make those, you know, maybe the outcome's a little bit different. We're certainly, you know, shorthanded, you know, with using as many guys we did game one. But still, like, everybody contributed, everybody battling, and you know, that's what it's going to take, you know, to get through with having, you know, five guys down or so.
That was Jace Tingler speaking with the media after the Padres' loss in Game 2 of the doubleheader today. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. Padres lose 3-2. We have a couple phone calls. We have fixed the phones. So if you would like to join the show, you can. 833-288-0973. I want to hear from all of you about what you're thinking of tonight's game. Very quickly, I'll just say this. It sounds like Trent Grisham made that decision to steal third on his own, And Jay Singler said that was a really good learning experience. So we're going to talk about that as we go along. But let me take a few phone calls real quick. Let's go to our guy, Vince in Chula Vista. Vince, how are you feeling tonight?
Hey, Matt. You know, I'm not feeling all too bad. I mean, five key players down, and we took two out of three in Colorado, and I would happen to think that with Tingler and the coaching staff, you know what, they're going to get out of Colorado and come home, and mistakes were made on the base paths, those things are going to happen. What drives me nuts is we get a guy on, I hate that rule, by the way, that extra inning rule where they put a runner on second base. Hate that. And we can't get a hit. We can't get them over, hit a fly ball, get the run in. We seem to struggle, and that's just a minor point that I'm picking at there. But all in all, getting the team back home, get this health and safety protocol issue resolved. I said this before, it's a long, long season, and we are really well positioned. And so I don't feel bad at all. It would have been nice to sweep. It always is. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, I don't feel badly at all. Two out of three. Come home. Cannot wait to see them against the Cardinals this weekend. We'll be there. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of chime in with you guys.
No, I appreciate that, Vince. Thank you for the phone call. You're spot on about the them being in a good position. They definitely are in a great position. And thank you for bringing up the Cardinals coming to town over the weekend. The Cardinals have been red hot, and the Padres are going to face a Cardinals team that is looking for a little bit of revenge after being eliminated from the playoffs last season by the Padres. So they're going to have some extra motivation. It's just unfortunate that the situation with the Padres and the COVID IL, all the good players, or all the mainstays, I should say, are on it right now. And that's just unfortunate with the Cardinals coming to town. But it is what it is. This is what baseball teams are dealing with in a COVID world. So Padres, I was talking to someone earlier on Twitter about this. Padres have been very good about COVID. They haven't really had much of anything going on even last year and this year. And you've seen teams like the Marlins and the Cardinals and earlier this year, the Nationals and the Mets and all that other stuff. There's been a lot that has gone on with teams around Major League Baseball. So this isn't a one-off thing. This isn't just happening to the San Diego Padres. But this is just all good experience for these guys. And we've heard it a million times. Tony said it on Gwynn and Chris a lot, that this is a season where everybody is going to contribute to a World Series title if that's what happens for this team. So, the Padres are in a good position, but they do need to get through this next couple days. They won the series. That's good. You always want to win the series. You never want to lose back-to-back series. And if you can take two out of three all season long, you're in a good spot. So we'll be talking about this as we go along in the postgame show. I know we got someone else on the phones. Thomas, should we go to them now or should we take a break? We'll go to them now. Okay, Brock. What's up, Brock?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How's it going? What's on your mind?
A little frustrated, man. I wish we could have got the sweep. You know, it's frustrating to see these games. It's good we're winning the series and all, but I'm ready to take a sweep, and it's frustrating that those umpires blew the call. I don't know what the point of doing the replay is if they're just going to blow it. And putting Ramirez in two innings back-to-back, I knew it wasn't looking there. So just a little frustrated, but hopefully we can keep the momentum going.
Appreciate that, Brock. Thank you for calling. I don't think Jace Tingler had many options with pitchers coming out. It was the end of a doubleheader, an end of a very weird series with the Rockies. So Nick Ramirez may have been one of the only arms that he had left that he possibly trusted in that situation. We'll ask Coach when he comes on the show what he thinks about that. But Jace Tingler did say in the post-game press conference that Drew Pomerantz was unavailable. He's dealing with some small issues, and so hopefully they get that figured out. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to go through some of the highlights and recap the game for you in Game 2 of the doubleheader. And then we're going to talk with Coach John Quintero as well. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973, or you can find us on Twitter at 973thefanSD for the station and at Matt Scraby for myself. So we'll be right back in just a second, and we'll recap the game, and we'll take your calls, we'll do all that fun stuff. We'll talk to Coach John Quintero. That's all next on 973 The Fan.
Hi, this is Pierce Johnson from the San Diego Padres. You're listening to Padres Baseball, 973 The Fan.
Matt Scraby back with you here in the Odyssey Palace on 97.3 The Fan, Padres postgame show. The Padres take the series from the Rockies, 2 of 3 games, but they dropped the second of the doubleheader today. The Rockies won 3-2 in extra innings. In the eighth, they had a walk-off hit from Josh Fuentes. So let's actually relive all of that game right now.
Let's listen back to the most exciting plays from today's game with our game highlights presented by EcoWater SoCal. What's in your water? Find out online at EcoWaterSoCal.com and schedule your free water test today. That's EcoWaterSoCal.com.
Well, there wasn't any action for the Padres to start the game, but Blake Snell did find himself in some early trouble, giving up a single to Connor Joe. He did force Trevor Story to ground out, then walked Charlie Blackmon, but was able to escape trouble once again by striking out Ryan McMahon. So no harm, no foul. To the top of the second, Austin Nola singled. Tucapita Marcano struck out. Then Ha-Seo Kim came up to bat with 2 outs and 1 on.
Didrich-esque. This one is well struck into right field and a base hit for Kim. Trying to find the gap. Blackmon bobbles it. It gets behind him. That might get a run home. Nola's rounding third. Nola's on his way. There will not be a throw to the plate. And Kim all the way around to third base. Padres take a 1-0 lead after a well-struck ball into right field for Ha-Seo Kim. Charlie Blackmon kicked it around. And the Padres strike first here in Game 2.
Good to see Ha-Seo Kim getting more and more comfortable in the big league game at the plate. The bottom of the second was not as kind to Blake Snell. Jonathan Daza doubled. Then Josh Fuentes stepped into the box and did this.
Here's the 1-0. Fuentes launches one. Deep to left field. Bam is going back. He's at the wall. Looking up. Gonna go. Josh Fuentes gets a changeup and hits it out. A 2-run shot for Nolan Arenado's cousin, getting a start at third base. And a 2-1 Rocky lead here in the second.
Interesting little fact there from Jesse Agler, the cousin of Nolan Arenado at third base for the Rockies. It would take Blake Snell 25 more pitches, but he was able to get out of the second inning after striking out Trevor Story. Back to the Padres, Jake Cronenworth singled, but otherwise nothing going on for him. Blake Snell went back out Blake Snell went back out for the bottom of the third. He gave up singles to Charlie Blackmon and Jonathan Daza, but got out of the inning. Top of the fourth saw Austin Nola get on with a single, but a Ha-Seo Kim double play ball ended the Padres' chances. Blake Snell was sent back out to pitch to the bottom of the fourth inning and did so going 1-2-3, but that would be it for Snell in the game. After starting in some bad spots, he steadied the ship. He went 4 innings, gave up 5 hits, 1 homer to Josh Fuentes, 2 earned runs. He walked 3, but he struck out 7 Rockies. He threw 84 pitches and 53 strikes. We're going to hear from Blake Snell a little bit later in the postgame show about his outing. Rockies pitcher Austin Gomber struck out the side in the top of the fifth. And in the bottom half of the fifth, Pierce Johnson took over for Blake Snell. And outside of giving up a 2-out single, he got through the inning with no damage done. Top of the sixth saw a huge opportunity for the Padres. Jake Cronenworth grounded out. Manny Machado walked. The Rockies made a pitching change, and Austin Gomber was done for the night. Daniel Bard replaced him. Manny Machado picked up his 6th stolen base of the year and was on second. And Tommy Pham reached first on an error by Connor Joe. Runners on first and third with 1 out. Austin Nola grounded to third baseman Josh Fuentes, but Manny Machado had to hold because Fuentes could have gotten him out at third, so Manny heads back to third, and Fuentes threw out Nola at first. Tommy Pham went to second. Runners now on second and third with two outs. Tucapita Marcano had a chance to be the hero, but unfortunately he struck out looking, and that ended the Padres' chance in the top of the sixth. So big break for the Rockies, bad break for the Padres. Austin Adams, though, he came out and took the hill in the bottom of the sixth. He struck out two en route to three straight outs. The Padres needed a comeback in the seventh inning, and they got one. Ha-Seon Kim struck out, but Brian O'Grady, who was called up earlier today, he needed a big hit.
First pitch is a fastball hit well out to right center field. Long way to go, Hampson. Still going back. It is up against the birdcage in right center. Into second base, O'Grady, and he just missed the home run. As the ball gets away on the infield, but it is backed up by McMahon. A one-out double by O'Grady, who took a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Daniel Bard and nearly sent it over the fence in right center field.
Yeah, it was almost out. I thought it was out. He probably thought it was out. I know that the Ben and Woods Nation screamed in joy that he was hitting one out, but he still was able to get to second base. And the hero of game one, Victor Caratini, he pinch hit for Austin Adams. Could he possibly be the savior again?
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and that's a hard hit grounder to the right side and through for a base hit. That'll tie it 2-2 here in the seventh. Padres were down to their final two outs, and Victor Caratini with a grand slam in game one comes through with a pinch hit RBI single here in the seventh.
And
the man does it again.
And the Padres, thank you, Tony. And the Padres had new life, and Trent Grisham singled left. Caratini moved to second. Jake Cronenworth hit a fly ball to left, but Raimel Tapia may have let it fall in front of him because he caught Victor Caratini trying to take third, and there were two outs with two on. Everything set up for Manny Machado to put the Padres ahead with runners on first and second. And then Trent Grisham, for some reason, tried to steal third and was caught for the third out with Manny Machado still at the plate. The game was tied, so the Padres had a new life, but that was a huge blow for the chances of them winning the game. In the bottom of the second, Aztec for life, Alan Trejo reached on a single to left field, but the Rockies couldn't drive anyone in, and we went to extra. The eighth inning extras. Very weird to hear that. Yeah, Jake Cronenworth assumed his position at second with the extra base runner rule. Manny Machado then walked. Tommy Pham had one of the weirdest I have ever seen happen. He was trying to get out of the way of a pitch, but the pitch hit the knob on the bottom of the bat, and it bounced fair, and it was very unlucky for Tommy Pham. It did move Cronenworth to third and Manny Machado to second, so it was almost like a sacrifice, but a very weird sacrifice. Austin Nola did put the ball in play, but third baseman McMahon threw home, and Cronenworth was tagged out. As we talked about a little bit, they did review the play, and it did look like Diaz may have been blocking Cronenworth's path to the plate, but the umpire said he was still out after the review, and from my perspective, it would be hard to overturn that play once they've already called him out at the plate. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Coach here in just 1 second. Runners were still in scoring position, but Tucapita Marcano flew out to left and ended the inning. Bottom of the eighth, and Charlie Blackman was the runner on second. Nick Ramirez, he intentionally walked Ryan McMahon to set up the double play, and Ramirez did get the double play. He got Matt Adams to ground into a double play just like that, and that brought up Josh Fuentes, and here is what happened.
Coming up, and then who knows? This one is sent very deep into left center field. Grisham going back. He will not get there. It's up against the wall, and it is a game-winning hit for Josh Fuentes, who has driven in all three Rocky ones. Colorado walks it off here in the bottom of the eighth inning, and they avoid the sweep. A 3-2 victory in game two of the doubleheader.
And that was it. As you heard Jesse Agler just say, the Rockies won 3-2. Final totals, Rockies 3 runs on 8 hits. They did have 3 errors in the game. The Padres 2 runs on 7 hits, no errors. Padres they hit 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, excuse me. They left 8 on base. The Rockies, on the other hand, went 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position and left 9 on base. So we'll get into a little bit more of what happened during the game in just a second. We also have a couple phone calls, so please hold on, Freddie and Vic. But first, let's bring on Coach John Quintera. Coach, the Padres won the series, but they dropped this game with a couple base running mistakes. What did you think about those?
Well, you can't take the bat out of Manny Machado's hand in the seventh inning. I mean, you're paying this guy $300 million. I mean, heck, I could score from second base on a base hit to the outfield at Coors Field. So could the Friar by that as well. I'm a big fan of the Friar, and the Friar doesn't have great speed, but the Friar could have scored. I don't know what Trent Grisham's thinking. I can't believe, in listening to Jace, what he's going to have to do next time in that situation. I mean, you want to trust your players, Matt.
Yeah.
But you also, you know, you give them the green light, but there's also a thing called the red light. I think next time, I don't know if you'll have to give Trent the red light next time. I think he probably learned. I'm sure, Manny probably gave him a little bit of a snake eye when that happened. But you can't take the bat out of Manny Machado's hands. And I'll tell you the other thing. Even if he gets to third base, they're going to walk Manny Machado. They're going to load the bases, and they're going to take their chances with Tommy Pham. So either way, Manny Machado is probably not going to hit in that situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. After the game, we heard Jay Stingler talking about it, and he did, like you said, it was Trent Grisham's decision. Do you think that maybe because he got that bunt down in the first game, that was also his decision? It wasn't a called bunt. Maybe he was just feeling good about his decision-making tonight?
Well, first of all, Trent Grisham plays the game exceptionally hard. He's a very intense guy, and he's doing a great job. But, you know, you're going to have a brain cramp every once in a while. I mean, that isn't exactly what you want when you got the bases loaded, lay down a two-out bunt because there's a force at every base. But, you know, it was a great bunt. It worked out well, and everybody's happy. And it got the Padres going a little bit in game one. But, again, you got to know the situation. You got to know who's on the mound. Daniel Bard was struggling at that time. But you got Manny Machado. And I know Manny did not have a great day swinging the bat. He had a great night last night. Wasn't having a great day today. Ended up walking a couple of times. But, man, I'm telling you, who knows? I mean, you let Manny hit in that situation. Bard was struggling. He may throw him a fastball. Padres may have a three-run lead. But even if you steal on that double steal and get runners to second and third base, they're going to take the bat out of Manny's hands. And that's unfortunate. And this is a game, quite frankly, the Padres should have won.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. The other big storyline from the game would be Blake Snell. We're going to hear from Blake Snell here on the postgame show in a little bit, but he went four innings. He gave up two runs. He struck out seven. So he shows the flashes of brilliance that we know he's capable of, but he puts himself in a lot of trouble early, and I'm just curious to see what you think about what he did tonight.
Well, you know, I like Blake Snell's talent, and, you know, anybody that's listened to the talk show knows that I was yelling and screaming right after the World Series for AJ to make that call down to Tampa and see what it was going to take to get Blake Snell. To this point, I've been very underwhelmed. I am impressed with his overall athletic ability. I think he's got to go back to the drawing board on his delivery a little bit. To me, he's breaking his hands a little bit late. Therefore, he's working to the plate, and his arm is having to play catch-up. He's really unable from one pitch to the next, whether it's his fastball, his curveball change, he's not able to repeat his delivery. And until he can repeat his delivery, he's not going to be very consistent. But I will tell you this. I thought the last two innings, the third and fourth inning, he threw much better than he did in innings one and two today. And I did see a little bit of hope. But again, him and Larry Rothschild are going to have to go back to the drawing board in his next bullpen.
Yeah, so the Padres are going to be without some of their star players for the next week or so. How do you think Jason Tingler is going to navigate this going forward with a good team like the St. Louis Cardinals coming to town for the weekend series?
Well, you know, I think Adrian Preller, quite frankly, he's probably going to work right now. I don't know if he's looking to make a deal to try to bring in maybe another bench guy or somebody that can maybe help, but you know, the guys did today. You know, Tuca Pietermarcano, he's hanging in there. Kivlahan, you know, didn't have a lot of success today. But, you know, I thought it was nice to see Brian O'Grady take one off the wall there as a pinch hitter late in the game, too. You know, those guys played late last night, and they had to, you know, hustle to an airplane. So they'll be a little bit more grounded, I think, on Friday once they get an opportunity to kind of get settled a little bit. I mean, you know, they probably got the call, and within 12 hours they were on a plane, and they're in Colorado next thing you know, the game's kicking off. It's in the doubleheader. But, you know, the Padres are going to have to tighten it up defensively. I thought they made three errors in the first game today. They only got charged for one. A lot of hometown scorekeeping there today in Colorado. I thought Tommy Pham should have got hit with an error. I thought Ha-Seong Kim, when he pulled Noel off of second base late in the ball game on a force play. I thought that should have been an error. But defensively, they got to tighten some things up. Out the bullpen, once again, was really good today. Mark Melanson had to really work hard. I am concerned, though, Matt, about Drew Pomerantz. He hasn't pitched since Sunday. Mm-hmm. A member of the media, asked about the situation with him. And, you know, really from day one, he's been having a problem with his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's not able to pitch on back-to-back days. And we haven't seen him since Sunday. And that's not good. Apparently, he threw today a little bit prior to game one, and it wasn't feeling right. So I'm a little concerned about him. And I also have to think the Padres are going to have to make a determination on Denelson Lamed. I don't think they can continue at the big league level to run him out there for two innings every 5 or 6 days and put that bullpen in jeopardy.
Yeah, the bullpen has been used a ton this year. We have talked about it all the time on the talk show, and I'm sure you've talked about it in your talk show about how much the bullpen has been used this year, but they are going to have to figure that out as well. Pierce Johnson, he's looked pretty good. Austin Adams can look very good. But Nick Ramirez, I like what I see out of him, but I don't know if they're asking too much from him.
Well, you know, Nick Ramirez, a guy that, you know, can help out in certain situations. I don't know if you can, you know, extend him past one inning. But, again, I mean, you knew you couldn't use Melanson after all the pitches he threw in game one, getting a five-out save. And congratulations to Mark, 12 for 12 on the year, doing a great job in that situation today. And I thought that he hung in there, maybe didn't have his best stuff today, but did a heck of a job. Emilio Pagan picked up his third win of the year, a perfect 3-0 right now. There were some positives, but again, you know, the old coach in me, I'm going to look at the things that we need to clean up, and, you know, there are a few things the Padres need to tighten up on, but man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to bed tonight wishing I knew what Manny Machado was going to do with that at bat in the seventh inning with a couple of ducks on the pond.
I think we all will, Coach. I think we all will. All right, what's coming up on the show tomorrow?
Well, we're going to obviously kick around these two ball games today, cuss and discuss them a little bit. And, of course, we'll get you ready for the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals are playing pretty good baseball, and we saw Josh Fuentes, the cousin who works out all offseason here in Orange County with his buddy Nolan Arenado. We'll see Nolan Arenado for the first time in a Cardinal uniform, and Paul Goldschmidt and our buddy Tommy Edman, who's been a great contributor to my talk show the last couple of years. So it's going to be a fun weekend of baseball. It's always fun, and the fans are always fired up when the Cardinals come to town. So it should be a great weekend of baseball at Petco.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Coach. I will talk to you, or I'll see you. I won't see you, but I'll probably talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, I'll look forward to that, and I'll tell you what, a doubleheader today, doggone it, I thought we could get both of them. Hey, I'll take two out of three and finish up a 3-3 road trip after dropping a couple of games there in San Francisco. The boys will get back on it on Friday night and hopefully have a good weekend against the Redbirds.
I like your thought process, Coach. Thank you so much.
All righty, Manny. Thank you.
All right. That was Coach John Quintero with us. He joins us on the post-game show after every game. You just you can tune into his show noon to 3 weekdays, and when there's a day game, he takes over at 9 a.m. All right, we're going to go to a break in a little bit, but I know that Freddie and Vic have been holding for a while, so let's go to Freddie and Escondido on the phones. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Thank you for holding, Freddie. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Straby, for taking my call, but I think that you definitely need to walk Fuentes. He's been beating you all day long. I mean, you gotta, because he's got the hot bat, and that's a call for the manager to do. And everything is magnified, you know, at the end. And I think it was Tingler that made the bad call.
Okay. All right. I mean, Jay Singler, yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. There was a runner on third base, so I could see that thought process, Freddie. I definitely can. Thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate that. I could see why you would want to put Fuentes on with Charlie Blackmon on third, but at that point, you already have the runner on third, so you're just trying to survive at that point. And with Diaz coming up next, he was 0-for-3 in the game, struck out twice. Not a bad call. I didn't even think about that, Freddie. Not a bad call at all. I appreciate that. And something for us fans and everyone to think about going forward. But again, Jace Tingler, I don't think we can blame him for this loss. I think there are decisions that he will learn from. And this is game 38. So it's good to have this happen in game 38 rather than the playoffs or something like that. So I appreciate the phone call, Freddie. That is a very good point. All right, let's go out to Vic. Vic, what are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling frustrated and
okay.
A little ticked off.
All right, what about?
I don't understand the theory of the baseball team. They don't move runners along, especially in the late innings, especially when this, whatever this joke of a rule is now, starting people at second, but nobody out. Why aren't they pushing runners along to score on an out? I'll tell you why. Because Austin Nola can't get a run in with on and out. He did it twice today. I don't know what he's trying to do. He hit two balls to third base. Couldn't get the run in. I don't know why he doesn't go the other way, try to lift the ball, a little bit like that. I don't understand the philosophy of baseball with his team. I understand that they have a minor league team out there, even more so now than they did a week ago. But I'm really ticked off. I don't understand why. Yeah, Grisham should not have done that boneheaded play, but that's this team. what I don't understand is I'm really mad. They cannot score with less than two outs and a runner on third. That is ridiculous. And I'll tell you another thing. Why are they not pushing runners along? Why aren't they bunting on this shift? I don't understand that. The whole left side of the field is open, and they insist on batting with all these 190 batting averages they have. Why aren't they dropping something down? At least put the thought into a fielder's head that would mandate that they move the shift along if they think that a bunt is going to happen. But they don't think it, and I don't understand this team.
All right, thank you for the phone call, Vic. You are definitely frustrated. I can hear that, and I'm with you. I am, because it is frustrating when you see other teams easily get runners in when they're on third base, and then the Padres, they do what they have done a few times this year. But I know that the Padres are very aware of the situations, and they are very aware of the strategy in extra innings. And so there must be some reason that they're doing it the way that they're doing it. This is how they talk about it in their meetings. This is how they're trying to win the game in extra innings. I mean, this is only a rule that's been in play for the second season now. So people are still trying to figure out how it's going and figure out how they want to play it. But, you can move runners over with a bunt, you know, with a guy at second, putting him on third right away. But for whatever reason, the Padres don't do that. And I'm not going to knock them for it because they obviously have more information than I do. But I would like to see a little bit of a different mindset. I would like to see them try something new because it's not working right now. So you always got to improve on what you're doing, and you got to take the information that you've learned throughout the year, and you got to fix it. So hopefully that is something that they can fix going forward. Obviously they need to fix that going forward. Austin Nola, though, I want to say he went 2-for-4 on the game today, so he's starting to come back. Or in the second game, he's starting to come back a little bit. He came off the IL with a broken finger. He took a pitch to the hand. I think it's been a rough start to his season. So I know that fans are very tired of the let's be patient mantra. I know that. I'm kind of tired of it. But it's still May 12th. They're only 38 games in. They have over 100 and something. I'm not very good at math. For anybody who listens to Gwen and Chris, you know how bad I am at math. But they're around over 100 games left. So I almost said let's be patient, but I can't. I understand that the patience is wearing thin. I do. I still think we need to be slightly patient. I know. I know I said I wouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's the only way. You look around baseball, no one's hitting. We talked about it on the talk show yesterday. No one's hitting. So it's not just the Padres. It's all around baseball. It's a baseball problem. All right, we do have a phone call, but we're going to have to go to break. I think we've went way past our break time. So if you want to join us and talk about the game tonight, 833-288-0973, please hang on the line. Troops, I believe, is your name. We'll get to you when we get back. We'll also hear from Blake Snell at some point, and we'll get the play of the game. That's all next. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres Post Game Show on 97.3 The Fan.
What was the turning point in today's game? Let's take a listen to the Bold Play of the Game, presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. Bold, bubbly, packed with lemonade flavor.
First pitch is a fastball hit well out to right center field. Long way to go, Hampson. Still going back. It is up against the birdcage in right center. Into second base, O'Grady, and he just missed the home run as the ball gets away upfield, but it is backed up by McMahon. A one-out double by O'Grady, who took a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Daniel Bard and nearly sent it over the fence in right center field.
That was our play of the game. Brian O'Grady hitting it off the fence to double late in the game. If he doesn't hit that, then there's no tie game and there's no extra innings. And so that's why we chose Brian O'Grady's double as the play of the game. Matt Scraby here with you on 97.3 The Fan Padres post-game show. The Padres lost the second game of a doubleheader to the Rockies 3-2. They take the series 2-3 and they move to 21-17 on the year. Nick Ramirez will take the loss for the Padres, and Almonte gets the win for the Colorado Rockies. All right, I have Troop on the line who wants to talk about the Padres. Troop, what's on your mind?
First off, I never thought I'd call in to talk to Scraby, but I kind of like it.
I like it too, Troop. Thank you.
That's it. No, I'm kidding. I just have one problem. And one problem only, and it is it's to the nth degree, and that is with our fan base.
Oh, okay.
We're not even a quarter through the season yet.
All right.
We have 124 more of these to go. Did we win the series? I know you said we just did, but didn't we just take 2 out of 3?
Yes.
No one's going to go. They're not going to win the next 124 games, but they stay on the clip that they're on. They go. I mean, instead of blaming Nola, who has, 15 at-bats this season, and he's nursing a broken hand. Why not talk about, I don't know, not how are you going to expand a pitcher and get him going and stretch him out if you only put him on 30 pitches? They did that with Morejon. How'd that work out? They babied him. How'd that work out? Oh, yeah, he's out for a year and a half because he tore his elbow up. So you have Mackenzie Gore, who threw 94 pitches in AAA start last week, or maybe two nights ago. Do you think that Tingler would have let him go past the first inning? No, he's too young. Like, I don't get it. I don't. That's what I have an issue with, and our bullpen is not going to hold up. I mean, I'm willing to guess, I haven't looked at the stats, but I'm willing to bet that the Padres bullpen has more innings than any other team in the major leagues, and they have a winning record. That is unheard of.
I know.
That's all I got to say, man.
I appreciate it, Troop. I know that you're passionate, and I like that you brought up what's going on with what we should be talking about, and there are certain things that we should be talking about. Austin Nola, by the way, has 23 at-bats in the year, and the other day on Sunday, I know that the Padres bullpen had the most innings pitched, and I agree with you. It's not going to hold up over a long season, but this is all a very young. This is a young team and a young season, and you have a newish manager as well. So it's all about the growing pains. And talking with some of the Padres fans that I've known, I went to La Costa Canyon High School, talking to a few of my friends that have been Padres fans their entire life. They are frustrated, like you are, Troop, and like so many Padres fans out there are. But for whatever reason, I'm not this person, but they're able to look on the bright side and say this is much better than being 10-25 or whatever they would be at this point. So it's a win lose situation for Padres fans. But I understand where you're coming from, Troop. It is frustrating. You want them to win when they have chances to win. Everybody wants them to be really good. And sometimes putting together a roster on paper looks great, but when you take it to the field, it doesn't translate right away. And I'm not saying it's not going to translate this year. I think it will translate this year. I think all of these guys just need to get into the groove of a season. Last year was a 60-game season. Some of these guys are not used to playing a full season. Jake Cronenworth is going to be playing a full season. Trent Grisham did play a full season when he was with the Brewers. But still, these guys are coming off of a 60-game year, and it's all it's just trying to get back into the swing of things. Everything was messed up by the pandemic. We all know that. Everything was. But baseball was especially messed up because they went from 162 games to 60 games. And now you have no one who's able to hit. And you have people striking out all over the place. I think there was 1,000 more strikeouts than hits in the first month of the season. So, again, this is not just a Padres problem. This is a baseball problem. And I think that going forward, the Padres' talent will show through, and it will the team will separate itself from the teams that are not very good. So right now, I know why people are frustrated. I know why people hate me when I say that we need to be patient. I understand it. I would hate me, too, if I were you. But it's true. You need to be patient, and you need to just kind of see things through. The Padres are still a winning baseball team. They're 21-17 on the season. At least you're not the Rockies. At least you're not a fan of the Rockies. At least you're not a fan of the Tigers. That's all I got to say. I mean, think about how bad it is. Everybody knows how bad it is to be those teams because the Padres fans have been those fans before. So I think there's a lot of things to look forward to, and I think there's a lot of things to be frustrated about. Honestly, you can be frustrated. It's not that you shouldn't be frustrated. That just means passion. You know what we say on the Gwen and Chris show all the time about fans? What does fans stand for? Fanatic. And that's what people are, and that's fine. And being frustrated just shows passion and shows emotion, so I have no problem with that. And if you want to show passion and emotion on this show, please give us a call, 833-288-0973. And while we're waiting for all of you to call in, we are going to check in with the starting pitcher for today, Blake Snell, see what he had to say. I'm Matt Scraby, so right after this, let's just go to Blake Snell right now.
Let's take you inside the clubhouse and find out what the Padres have to say after today's game on the Padres Radio Network.
Hey, Blake, it kind of looked like two different outings for you today. The first couple of innings where you were using a lot of off-speed and it seemed like you were struggling with your command. And then the third and fourth inning, you really started using your fastball and looked much more aggressive. Did you kind of feel that's how it went today, or what was your assessment of it?
Yeah, I felt good. I just got to get in the zone more. I mean, it's the same thing. So I feel like I keep saying the same thing. I just have to make adjustments.
Okay, to your point, you just said you're saying the same thing. What have you been trying to do differently to make the adjustment? Are you trying different things and it's not going the way you want? Or what's kind of going on from your end?
Yeah, doing a little bit of everything. So, I'm obviously trying to get it back to the guy that I know that I am. I feel like I elaborate a lot, and I'm obviously trying to work on things and trying to figure out why I'm pitching the way I'm pitching, and I'm doing all those things that I need to do. So, just got to throw more strikes, get quicker outs, and that will allow me to stay out there deeper into the game.
Clearly, but as far as the difference in your fastball usage the last couple of innings, Did you do that consciously? Are you aware of it? Am I imagining it? Or any comment on that part of it whatsoever?
Yeah, I threw more fastballs for sure later on.
And do you think that's something that might be useful moving forward, or you still have to kind of evaluate it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be. There's a lot that I'm searching for, so yeah.
Okay, thanks, Blake.
That was an unusually somber Blake Snell, and I don't want Blake Snell to feel sad or anything like that, but I do want him to feel like he cares, and I know that he cares. It's not that he doesn't care. He wants to pitch better. Believe me, all these guys want to play a lot better. So there are lots of things that we're going to be able to talk about on the shows here on 97.3 The Fan tomorrow. Ben and Woods, 5 to 9 a.m. Coach John Quintero, 12 or noon to 3. And then Gwen and Chris from 3 to 7. We'll be talking about all of this. But Blake Snell, he is a good pitcher. He only gave up 2 earned runs today. He struck out 7. So it's there. It's just not the length isn't there. And he does get into some trouble early in the game. Just want to shout out Sean Sovacool, the head coach of the La Costa Canyon Mavericks football team. He's listening tonight, and he heard me shouting out La Costa Canyon, so appreciate you listening, Sean. And if you want to tweet me, you can, at Matt Scraby, at 97.3 The Fan SD. And if you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. When we get back, we're going to choose our player of the game. We're going to catch up on some scores around baseball. And we're also going to see how many home runs the Padres have hit this year. So that's all coming up next on the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan.
This is Tommy Pham from the San Diego Padres. The 2021 Padres play here. 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby back with you here in the Odyssey Palace on 97.3 The Fan. Padres postgame show after the Game 2 loss to the Rockies today in the doubleheader. The Rockies beat the Padres 3-2 in extra innings tonight. And people are frustrated. And I understand it. The big play from tonight, I think we're always going to think about. And Coach said it. He's going to go to bed thinking about what would have been if Manny Machado was able to get a full at-bat there without Trent Grisham stealing third and getting tagged out to end the inning. That was major right there. And as we played earlier in the postgame, Jace Tingler said, hold on, I wrote this down. I need to go up to my notes and find this. He said, this is a learning experience and a really good learning experience. So that just tells me, without throwing his player under the bus, it tells me that Trent Grisham decided to steal third on his own. And, you know, we had a caller earlier. Sorry, I forgot your name. You're saying they wanted to be more aggressive on the base pass. So Trent Grisham was being more aggressive. So if you want them to be more aggressive, you can't blame them for being aggressive if they get out. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think everybody knows that Manny Machado with the bat in his hand is way better than Trent Grisham trying to steal third base. That's a low probability play for him to steal third when you probably got better numbers on Manny at the plate. So that's what we'll be talking about on Gwynn and Chris tomorrow. I know that for sure. Okay, we got a few things left in the postgame show here on 97.3 The Fan. Let's go and find out who our player of the game was.
Which player had the biggest impact on today's game? Let's take a look at the player of the game. Presented by Valley View Casino and Hotel. San Diego's favorite casino and dining.
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and that's a hard hit grounder to the right side and through for a base hit. That'll tie it 2-2 here in the seventh. Padres were down to their final two outs. And Victor Caratini with a grand slam in game one comes through with a pinch hit RBI single here in the seventh.
The man does it again.
He did it again. He tied up the game after hitting the grand slam in game one. Slam Diego is back, the first grand slam for the Padres this year. Victor Caratini, though, I'm not even going to call him the player of the game. I'm going to call him the player of the day, because without him at the plate, Padres got two losses under their belt. So good for Victor Caratini. He's been awesome this year. I mean, and to think that he came in I'm not trying to discount what he is, but he came in as like a Yu Darvish throw-in when they traded for him from the Cubs. That was Yu Darvish's catcher. So he has been very valuable. Very, very valuable. And he will become our player of the game. So the Padres lose to the Rockies 3-2, but there are a lot of baseball games happening around the country right now, so let's try and get caught up on all of them.
Time to check the scores around the big leagues with the Out of Town Scoreboard on the Padres Radio Network.
Let's start with the Astros. They crush the Angels 9-1 earlier today. So the Astros moved to 20-17. They started out a little slow, but they're starting to find their place right here. I know, insert trash can jokes now. We'll move on, and you can do that in your own head. The Cardinals, who are coming to town to take on the Padres here on Friday, they were in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers, and they lost. The Brewers won 4-1. So Josh Hader got his eighth save on the year, and Devin Williams gets the win for the Brewers. The Toronto Blue Jays of Florida beat the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta 4-1. Hyunjin Ryu goes to 3-2 on the year after getting the win, and A.J. Cole gets the save for the Blue Jays. Now, the Yankees and the Rays, the Yankees, if you're talking about a team with some COVID issues, the Yankees are definitely a team with COVID issues. I believe Thomas sent me a tweet earlier, and I'm pulling it up right now. This is from Brian Hawk on Twitter. Said Yankees now have 7 confirmed COVID-19 cases. Gleyber Torres is out of the lineup tonight as they wait on his test results. So Padres aren't the only team dealing with COVID right now. And if you think, the Yankees have it even worse with 7 guys being out. of their lineup. And they ended up beating the Rays, though. They ended up winning 1-0. Gerrit Cole gets the win. He's 5-1 on the year. He has a 1.37 ERA. So Gerrit Cole doing Gerrit Cole things for the Yankees. Aroldis Chapman picks up his ninth save on the year. The A's and all of the drama that's surrounding the A's and relocation and all that stuff went to Boston to take on the Red Sox. And the A's beat the Red Sox 4-1. Thomas just put his head down in shame. Now, I know Hunter Renfroe, he has a play floating around social media right now, and it's him throwing out someone from basically center field. So if you want to see a good Hunter Renfroe throw, check it out on social media. But the A's won 4-1. The Tigers, they won today 4-2. They moved to 12-24 on the year, and Casey Mize, that young pitcher for the Tigers, picks up the win. He moves to 2-3 on the year, and Gregory Soto gets the save for the Tigers. The Phillies and the Nationals also went into extra innings today, and Brad Hand has had a tough spot here in the last couple games. He ends up blowing the game. He takes the loss. He's 2-2 on the year. The Phillies win 5-2 in 10 innings. They scored 3 runs in the top of the 10th. The Washington Nationals could not score any runs, so they lose. Hector Neris picks up the save for the Philadelphia Phillies, and Jose Alvarado gets the win. He moves to 3-0 on the year. The Cubs were in Cleveland to take on the Indians, and the Indians won 2-1. They were also in extra innings. They walked it off. It was a home win for them. And the Indians have had a strange year. They've been no hit a couple times. They've had a couple walk-off hits. I don't know what's going on with the Indians, but their games are exciting, to say the least. And so they win. They beat the Cubs 2-1. There was a lot of extra inning games tonight. The Reds ended up beating the Pirates in 10, 5-1. And that is a National League Central matchup. The Reds finally start to come out of their losing streak. They even up their record at 17-17. The Pirates fall to 15-21. Lucas Sims gets the win. He moves to 2-1 on the year. The Orioles and the Mets had an interesting game earlier today because the Orioles sent out Matt Harvey to pitch for them today. And if you remember, Matt Harvey used to be a key member of the New York Mets as a pitcher back when they were making their World Series runs. Well, the Mets beat the Orioles today 7-1. Matt Harvey did take the loss, and Taijuan Walker got the win for the Mets. He moves to 3-1 on the year. But cool moment for Matt Harvey. He was given a standing ovation by Mets fans when he came out on the field, and he said he had to do everything in his power to hold back the tears from streaming down his face. So that was obviously a very important moment for Matt Harvey. And good on Mets fans for giving him a standing ovation. I was kind of stunned to hear that a New York team was giving their guy a standing ovation after, you know, just, I don't know. New York fans are just very serious. The Mariners are playing the Dodgers right now, and they're in the bottom of the fourth inning. They are actually being no hit in the bottom of the fourth. The Dodgers, the game right now is tied 0-0. The Dodgers do have bases loaded with one out, so we'll keep an eye on that. Marlins and the Diamondbacks. The Marlins, it's in Arizona. The Marlins are up 3-2 now in the top of the seventh, and the Twins and the White Sox are in the bottom of the seventh, and the White Sox are winning that game 13-7. So that is all of the games around baseball. So right now, NL West teams, the Diamondbacks are losing, the Dodgers are tied, and we already know that the Rockies and the Padres split today. All right, we have to figure out one more thing before we go to break. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. The Rockies beat the Padres in Game 2 of the doubleheader today, 3-2. The Padres moved to 21-17 on the year. The Rockies moved to 13-24 on the season. But before we go to break, we need to do this.
Which Padre went deep tonight? Let's take a look at the Padres' home run tally. Brought to you by the Gomez Firm on the Padres Radio Network.
Well, we know that there was a grand slam in the first game, but that's not what I'm counting here. There were no home runs in this edition of the doubleheader, and so the Padres have 36 home runs on the season. 36 home runs on the season. And that's it. I have nothing else to say about that. I mean, I wish I had the grand slam to talk about, but I don't. Victor Caratini, if you missed it, in the game one of the doubleheader, he hit the first Slam Diego grand slam of the season, and Thomas made fun of me because I put on Twitter, @MattScraby, welcome to Slam Diego, Caratini. Thomas made fun of me. I was just being a nice guy and inviting him into town. But whatever, Thomas, you can be a hater if you want to be. All right, that's it for the home run tally. We have another chance for phone calls. If you are out there and you want to get something off your chest before we sign off for the night, you can, 833-288-0973. And if you want to tweet me, you can, at Matt Scraby, at 97.3 The Fan SD. But we have a couple more things to do when we get back, and we will preview a little bit of the series between the Cardinals and the Padres that's going to start on Friday. That's all next. I'm Matt Scraby, and this is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Bernie Mesa.
This is Will Myers from the San Diego Padres. You're listening to Padres Baseball on the Padres Radio Network.
Matt Scraby here with you on the Padres postgame show, 97.3 The Fan, heading into the last segment on a doubleheader day for the Padres in Colorado to take on the Rockies. They split today's doubleheader, but the Padres win the series after winning last night's game, so they win 2-3. Or 2 out of 3 games is what I meant to say there. So good, because the Padres are winning series. That's all you want to do. Got a tweet from at Demorals. He said, at Matt Scraby, put me in, coach. You know, Ryan, if I could, I would. I tweeted out last night, if the Padres need my...
What was the turning point in today's game? Let's take a listen to the Bold Play of the Game, presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. Bold, public, packed with lemonade flavor.
First pitch is a fastball hit well out to right center field. Long way to go, Hampson. Still going back. It is up against the birdcage in right center. Into second base, O'Grady, and he just missed the home run as the ball gets away on field, but it is backed up by McMahon. A one-out double by O'Grady, who took a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Daniel Bard and nearly sent it over the fence in right center field.
That was our play of the game. Brian O'Grady hitting it off the fence to double late in the game. If he doesn't hit that, then there's no tie game and there's no extra innings. And so that's why we chose Brian O'Grady's double as the play of the game. Matt Scraby here with you on 97.3 The Fan, Padres postgame show. The Padres lost the second game of a doubleheader to the Rockies 3-2. They take the series 2-3 and they move to 21-17 on the year. Nick Ramirez will take the loss for the Padres, and Almonte gets the win for the Colorado Rockies. All right, I have Troop on the line who wants to talk about the Padres. Troop, what's on your mind?
First off, I never thought I'd call in to talk to Scraby, but I kind of like it.
I like it too, Troop. Thank you.
That's it. No, I'm kidding. I just have one problem. And one problem only, and it is it's to the nth degree, and that is with our fan base.
Oh, okay.
We're not even a quarter through the season yet.
All right.
We have 124 more of these to go. Did we win the series? I know you said we just did, but didn't we just take 2 out of 3?
Yes.
No one's going to go. They're not going to win the next 124 games, but they stay on the clip that they're on. They go. I mean, instead of blaming Nola, who has, 15 at-bats this season, and he's nursing a broken hand, why not talk about, I don't know, not how are you going to expand a pitcher and get him going and stretch him out if you only put him on 30 pitches? They did that with Morejon. How'd that work out? They babied him. How'd that work out? Oh, yeah, he's out for a year and a half because he tore his elbow up. So you have Mackenzie Gore, who threw 94 pitches in AAA start last week, or maybe two nights ago. Do you think that Tingler would have let him go past the first inning? No, he's too young. Like, I don't get it. I don't. That's what I have an issue with, and our bullpen is not going to hold up. I mean, I'm willing to guess, I haven't looked at the stats, but I'm willing to bet that the Padres bullpen has more innings than any other team in the major leagues, and they have a winning record. That is unheard of.
I know.
That's all I got to say, man.
I appreciate it, Troop. I know that you're passionate, and I like that you brought up what's going on with what we should be talking about, and there are certain things that we should be talking about. Austin Nola, by the way, has 23 at-bats in the year. And the other day on Sunday, I know that the Padres bullpen had the most innings pitched, and I agree with you, it's not going to hold up over a long season, but this is all a very young, this is a young team and a young season, and you have a newish manager as well, so it's all about the growing pains, and talking with some of the Padres fans that I've known, I went to La Costa Canyon High School, talking to a few of our my friends that have been Padres fans their entire life. They are frustrated, like you are, Troop, and like so many Padres fans out there are, but for whatever reason, I'm not this person, but they're able to look on the bright side and say this is much better than being 10-25 or whatever they would be at this point. So it's a win-lose situation for Padres fans. But I understand where you're coming from, Troop. It is frustrating. You want them to win when they have chances to win. Everybody wants them to be really good. And sometimes putting together a roster on paper looks great, but when you take it to the field, it doesn't translate right away. And I'm not saying it's not going to translate this year. I think it will translate this year. I think all of these guys need to, or they just need to get into the groove of a season. Last year was a 60-game season. Some of these guys are not used to playing a full season. Jake Cronenworth is going to be playing a full season. Trent Grisham did play a full season when he was with the Brewers. But still, these guys are coming off of a 60-game year. And it's all very, it's just trying to get back into the swing of things. Everything was messed up by the pandemic. We all know that. Everything was. But baseball was especially messed up because they went from 162 games to 60 games. And now you have no one who's able to hit. And you have people striking out all over the place. I think there was 1,000 more strikeouts than hits in the first month of the season. So, again, this is not just a Padres problem. This is a baseball problem. And I think that going forward, the Padres talent will show through and the team will separate itself from the teams that are not very good. So right now, I know why people are frustrated. I know why people hate me when I say that we need to be patient. I understand it. I would hate me too if I were you. But it's true. You need to be patient, and you need to just kind of see things through. The Padres are still a winning baseball team. They're 21-17 on the season. At least you're not the Rockies. At least you're not a fan of the Rockies. At least you're not a fan of the Tigers. That's all I got to say. I mean, think about how bad it is. Everybody knows how bad it is to be those teams because the Padres fans have been those fans before. So I think there's a lot of things to look forward to, and I think there's a lot of things to be frustrated about. Honestly, you can be frustrated. It's not that you shouldn't be frustrated. That just means passion. You know what we say on the Gwen and Chris show all the time about fans? What does fans stand for? Fanatic. And that's what people are, and that's fine. And being frustrated just shows passion and shows emotion, so I have no problem with that. And if you want to show passion and emotion on this show, please give us a call, 833-288-0973. And while we're waiting for all of you to call in, we are going to check in with the starting pitcher for today, Blake Snell, see what he had to say. I'm Matt Scraby, so right after this, let's just go to Blake Snell right now.
Let's take you inside the clubhouse and find out what the Padres have to say after today's game on the Padres Radio Network.
Hey, Blake, it kind of looked like two different outings for you today. The first couple of innings where you were using a lot of off-speed and it seemed like you were struggling with your command. And then the third and fourth inning, you really started using your fastball and looked much more aggressive. Did you kind of feel that's how it went today, or what was your assessment of it?
Yeah, I felt good. I just got to get in the zone more. I mean, it's the same thing. So I feel like I keep saying the same thing. I just have to make adjustments.
Okay, to your point, you just said you're saying the same thing. What have you been trying to do differently to make the adjustment? Are you trying different things and it's not going the way you want? Or what's kind of going on from your end?
Yeah, doing a little bit of everything. So, I'm obviously trying to get it back to the guy that I know that I am. I feel like I elaborate a lot, and I'm obviously trying to work on things and trying to figure out why I'm pitching the way I'm pitching, and I'm doing all those things that I need to do. So, just got to throw more strikes, get quicker outs, and that will allow me to stay out there deeper into the game.
Clearly, but as far as the difference in your fastball usage the last couple of innings, Did you do that consciously? Are you aware of it? Am I imagining it? Or any comment on that part of it whatsoever?
Yeah, I threw more fastballs for sure later on.
And do you think that's something that might be useful moving forward, or you still have to kind of evaluate it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be. I mean, there's a lot that I'm searching for. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Blake.
That was an unusually somber Blake Snell. And I don't want Blake Snell to feel sad or anything like that, but I do want him to... I do want to feel like he cares, and I know that he cares. It's not that he doesn't care. He wants to pitch better. Believe me, all these guys want to play a lot better. So there are lots of things that we're going to be able to talk about on the shows here on 97.3 The Fan tomorrow. Ben and Woods, 5 to 9 a.m. Coach John Quintero, 12 or noon to 3. And then Gwynn and Chris from 3 to 7. We'll be talking about all of this. But Blake Snell... he is a good pitcher. He only gave up 2 earned runs today. He struck out 7, so it's there. It's just not the length isn't there, and he does get into some trouble early in the game. Just want to shout out Sean Sovacool, the head coach of the La Costa Canyon Mavericks football team. He's listening tonight, and he heard me shouting out La Costa Canyon, so appreciate you listening, Sean. And if you want to tweet me, you can. At Matt Scraby, at 97.3 The Fan SD. And if you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. When we get back, we're going to choose our player of the game. We're going to catch up on some scores around baseball. And we're also going to see how many home runs the Padres have hit this year. So that's all coming up next on the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan.
This is Tommy Pham from the San Diego Padres. The 2021 Padres play here. 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby back with you here in the Odyssey Palace on 97.3 The Fan. Padres postgame show after the Game 2 loss to the Rockies today in the doubleheader. The Rockies beat the Padres 3-2 in extra innings tonight. And people are frustrated. And I understand it. The big play from tonight, I think we're always going to think about. And Coach said it. He's going to go to bed thinking about what would have been if Manny Machado was able to get a full at-bat there without Trent Grisham stealing third and getting tagged out to end the inning. That was major right there. And as we played earlier in the postgame, Jace Tingler said, hold on, I wrote this down. I need to go up to my notes and find this. He said, this is a learning experience and a really good learning experience. So that just tells me, without throwing his player under the bus, it tells me that Trent Grisham decided to steal third on his own. And, you know, we had a caller earlier. Sorry, I forgot your name. You're saying they wanted to be more aggressive on the base pass. So Trent Grisham was being more aggressive. So if you want them to be more aggressive, you can't blame them for being aggressive if they get out. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think everybody knows that Manny Machado with the bat in his hand is way better than Trent Grisham trying to steal third base. That's a low probability play for him to steal third when you probably got better numbers on Manny at the plate. So that's what we'll be talking about on Gwynn and Chris tomorrow. I know that for sure. Okay, we got a few things left in the postgame show here on 97.3 The Fan. Let's go and find out who our player of the game was.
Which player had the biggest impact on today's game? Let's take a look at the player of the game. Presented by Valley View Casino and Hotel. San Diego's favorite casino and dining.
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and that's a hard hit grounder to the right side and through for a base hit. That'll tie it 2-2 here in the seventh. Padres were down to their final two outs. And Victor Caratini with a grand slam in game one comes through with a pinch hit RBI single here in the seventh.
The man does it again.
He did it again. He tied up the game after hitting the grand slam in game one. Slam Diego is back, the first grand slam for the Padres this year. Victor Caratini, though, I'm not even going to call him the player of the game. I'm going to call him the player of the day, because without him at the plate, Padres got two losses under their belt. So good for Victor Caratini. He's been awesome this year. I mean, and to think that he came in I'm not trying to discount what he is, but he came in as like a Yu Darvish throw-in when they traded for him from the Cubs. That was Yu Darvish's catcher. So he has been very valuable. Very, very valuable. And he will become our player of the game. So the Padres lose to the Rockies 3-2, but there are a lot of baseball games happening around the country right now, so let's try and get caught up on all of them.
Time to check the scores around the big leagues with the Out of Town Scoreboard on the Padres Radio Network.
Let's start with the Astros. They crush the Angels 9-1 earlier today. So the Astros moved to 20-17. They started out a little slow, but they're starting to find their place right here. I know, insert trash can jokes now. We'll move on, and you can do that in your own head. The Cardinals, who are coming to town to take on the Padres here on Friday, they were in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers, and they lost. The Brewers won 4-1. So Josh Hader got his 8th save on the year, and Devin Williams gets the win for the Brewers. The Toronto Blue Jays of Florida beat the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta 4-1. Hyunjin Ryu goes to 3-2 on the year after getting the win, and A.J. Cole gets the save for the Blue Jays. Now, the Yankees and the Rays, the Yankees, if you're talking about a team with some COVID issues, the Yankees are definitely a team with COVID issues. I believe Thomas sent me a tweet earlier, and I'm pulling it up right now. This is from Brian Hawk on Twitter. Said Yankees now have 7 confirmed COVID-19 cases. Gleyber Torres is out of the lineup tonight as they wait on his test results. So Padres aren't the only team dealing with COVID right now. And if you think, the Yankees have it even worse with 7 guys being out. Of their lineup, and they ended up beating the Rays, though. They ended up winning 1-0. Gerrit Cole gets the win. He's 5-1 on the year. He has a 1.37 ERA, so Gerrit Cole doing Gerrit Cole things for the Yankees. Aroldis Chapman picks up his 9th save on the year. The A's, and all of the drama that's surrounding the A's and relocation and all that stuff, went to Boston to take on the Red Sox, and the A's beat the Red Sox 4-1. Thomas just put his head down in shame. Now, I know Hunter Renfroe, he has a play floating around social media right now, and it's him throwing out someone from basically center field. So if you want to see a good Hunter Renfroe throw, check it out on social media. But the A's won 4-1. The Tigers, they won today 4-2. They moved to 12-24 on the year, and Casey Mize, that young pitcher for the Tigers, picks up the win. He moves to 2-3 on the year, and Gregory Soto gets the save for the Tigers. The Phillies and the Nationals went into extra innings today, and Brad Hand has had a tough spot here in the last couple games. He ends up blowing the game. He takes the loss. He's 2-2 on the year. The Phillies win 5-2 in 10 innings. They scored 3 runs in the top of the 10th. The Washington Nationals could not score any runs, so they lose. Hector Neris picks up the save for the Philadelphia Phillies, and Jose Alvarado gets the win. He moves to 3-0 on the year. The Cubs were in Cleveland to take on the Indians, and the Indians won 2-1. They were also in extra innings. They walked it off. It was a home win for them. And the Indians have had a strange year. They've been no hit a couple times. They've had a couple walk-off hits. I don't know what's going on with the Indians, but their games are exciting, to say the least. And so they win. They beat the Cubs 2-1. There's a lot of extra inning games tonight. The Reds ended up beating the Pirates in 10, 5-1. And that is a National League Central matchup. The Reds finally start to come out of their losing streak. They even up their record at 17-17. The Pirates fall to 15-21. Lucas Sims gets the win. He moves to 2-1 on the year. The Orioles and the Mets had an interesting game earlier today because the Orioles sent out Matt Harvey to pitch for them today. And if you remember, Matt Harvey used to be a key member of the New York Mets as a pitcher back when they were making their World Series runs. Well, the Mets beat the Orioles today 7-1. Matt Harvey did take the loss, and Taijuan Walker got the win for the Mets. He moves to 3-1 on the year. But cool moment for Matt Harvey. He was given a standing ovation by Mets fans when he came out on the field, and he said he had to do everything in his power to hold back the tears from streaming down his face. So that was obviously a very important moment for Matt Harvey. And good on Mets fans for giving him a standing ovation. I was kind of stunned to hear that a New York team was giving their guy a standing ovation after, you know, just, I don't know. New York fans are just very serious. The Mariners are playing the Dodgers right now, and they're in the bottom of the 4th inning. They are actually being no-hit in the bottom of the 4th. The Dodgers, the game right now is tied 0-0. The Dodgers do have bases loaded with one out, so we'll keep an eye on that. Marlins and the Diamondbacks. The Marlins, it's in Arizona. The Marlins are up 3-2 now in the top of the 7th, and the Twins and the White Sox are in the bottom of the 7th, and the White Sox are winning that game 13-7. So that is all of the games around baseball. So right now, NL West teams, the Diamondbacks are losing, the Dodgers are tied, and we already know that the Rockies and the Padres split today. All right, we have to figure out one more thing before we go to break. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. The Rockies beat the Padres in Game 2 of the doubleheader today, 3-2. The Padres moved to 21-17 on the year. The Rockies moved to 13-24 on the season. But before we go to break, we need to do this.
Which Padre went deep tonight? Let's take a look at the Padres' home run tally. Brought to you by the Gomez Firm on the Padres Radio Network.
Well, we know that there was a grand slam in the first game, but that's not what I'm counting here. There were no home runs in this edition of the doubleheader, and so the Padres have 36 home runs on the season. 36 home runs on the season. And that's it. I have nothing else to say about that. I mean, I wish I had the grand slam to talk about, but I don't. Victor Caratini, if you missed it, in the game one of the doubleheader, he hit the first Slam Diego grand slam of the season, and Thomas made fun of me because I put on Twitter at Matt Scraby, welcome to Slam Diego, Caratini. So Thomas made fun of me. I was just being a nice guy, inviting him into town. But whatever, Thomas, you can be a hater if you want to be. All right, that's it for the home run tally. We have another chance for phone calls. If you are out there and you want to get something off your chest before we sign off for the night, you can, 833-288-0973. And if you want to tweet me, you can, at Matt Scraby, at 97.3TheFanSD. But we have a couple more things to do when we get back, and we will preview a little bit of the series between the Cardinals and the Padres that's going to start on Friday. That's all next. I'm Matt Scraby, and this is the Padres postgame show on 97.3TheFan.
Bernie Mesa.
This is Will Myers from the San Diego Padres. You're listening to Padres Baseball on the Padres Radio Network.
Matt Scraby here with you on the Padres postgame show, 97.3 The Fan, heading into the last segment on a doubleheader day for the Padres in Colorado to take on the Rockies. They split today's doubleheader, but the Padres win the series after winning last night's game, so they win 2-3. Or 2 out of 3 games is what I meant to say there. So good, because the Padres are winning series. That's all you want to do. Got a tweet from at DeMorals. He said, at Matt Scraby, put me in, coach. You know, Ryan, if I could, I would. I tweeted out last night, if the Padres need my help, if they need my services, I'm very good at Wednesday night softball. I play first base. I'm decent there. I have problems with easy pop-ups. I keep dropping them. And that's not a joke, and that's not a slight of Eric Hosmer. I legitimately have 2 errors on this year. Even Thomas has told me that the team is starting to call me the error, which I'm not happy about. But, you know, if I'm going to drop easy pop-ups, then I'm going to have to be called the error. Big notes from tonight's game. The play at the end of the game where Trent Grisham tried to steal third. We're going to talk about it all day on the station tomorrow, but it seemed like it was a Trent Grisham decision. Jay Stingler said that they want to be aggressive on the base paths, but sometimes you need to let Manny Machado bat instead of trying to steal third. That was unfortunate to take the bat out of Manny Machado's hand, and I'm sure that Manny has spoken to Trent about that. And again, I said it in the beginning of the postgame show, it's better to happen now than to happen later on in the playoffs. All right, last segment that we need to do before we look forward to the series against the Cardinals. So let's get it started.
Which pitcher came in and slammed the door shut? Let's find out who's the relief pitcher of the game in partnership with the San Diego Food Bank, providing relief for tens of thousands of families affected by COVID-19. Become a donor or volunteer today at sandiegofoodbank.org.
2-2 to Hampson, swung on and missed. Back-to-back K's for Austin Adams as he works a 1-2-3 sixth inning.
Thank you, Jesse. That was the relief pitcher of the game. Austin Adams came in. He went an inning. He struck out 2, didn't have any base runners, didn't walk anyone. So Austin Adams was a shutdown pitcher tonight. So was Pierce Johnson. He gave up a hit, but he also struck out another person. But we're going to choose Austin Adams tonight because of his 2 strikeouts. So he is the relief pitcher of the game. All right. Looking forward to for the Padres, they are 21-17 currently, and they are going to be taking on the red hot St. Louis Cardinals. And I heard Jesse say this in the broadcast earlier with Tony, and I think it was game one that I heard this, but they were saying that the Cardinals lineup with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt is like a nightmare from 2016 NL West teams. And it's very true because those guys are both locked in right now. Arenado, he just seems like he loves playing in St. Louis, and he seems like he fits in St. Louis. So on Friday night at 7:10 p.m. is going to be first pitch of that game. The Padres are going to be scheduled to be sending out Joe Musgrove. That is what MLB.com has right now. We have not confirmed that, so don't take that as truth. But take that as an educated truth, or no, educated truth, an educated guess, because MLB.com has it, and usually they're pretty right. And for the Cardinals, Johan Oviedo is going to be starting for them. He is 0-1 on the year. Unfortunately, that Joe Musgrove is 2-4 on the year, but he only has a 3 ERA. So Joe Musgrove still giving the Padres a great chance to win every time he goes out there to pitch, and that's what we're looking at. On Friday, it's a big series for the Padres over the weekend. They are taking on the Cardinals, who last left San Diego after losing in the playoffs. And so they're going to be a little bit angry. They're going to want to get a little bit of revenge. They're going to want to take advantage of the Padres being shorthanded with all of the COVID situation that's going on with the team. I'm pretty sure that Eric Hosmer and Will Myers and Fernando Tatis Jr. and other guys, they're going to be out at least 7 days. And that's just the nature of the beast of what COVID is in professional sports. And, you know, a few people have a lot of people I've seen on Twitter and social media today say, well, why aren't the players vaccinated? Well, we don't know that. We don't know if they're vaccinated or not. That's all private information, which is fine. And it's all personal choice. But as you see with the Yankees, they have the threshold for vaccinations on their team. They've already reached the 85% is what Major League Baseball set as the number that you need to get to before you could start opening up your restrictions within your team. And so they were over the 85%. I believe they were the first team to get to 85%. And they still have about 7 players on the COVID IL right now. So it's not just the Padres. It's happening around baseball. We've seen it a couple times this year. We saw it a lot last year. And the Yankees are just, you know, one of the unfortunate teams, as are the Padres. So Jay Stengler, he has a day off tomorrow, and the Padres have a day off tomorrow to regroup and reset, but he's going to have to go to the drawing board on strategy and try to figure out what's going to happen. And I'm sure AJ Preller, as Coach said earlier when we talked to him, AJ Preller is probably, you know, on the phone right now trying to make a deal or something like that. Who knows? I mean, they may need someone to help out on the bench. I don't expect for a blockbuster trade to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of something happening with the Padres roster before Friday, because right now the roster has a lot of El Paso Chihuahuas on it, and that's all well and good, but that's because their star players are out, so it's hard to win games without your star players. Again, the Padres, they lose in the game 2 of the doubleheader to the Rockies, 3-2. Blake Snell went 4 innings. He struck out 7. He had 2 earned runs. He gave up 5 hits. He had 84 pitches, 53 for strikes. The Padres were 1-for-10 tonight with runners in scoring position, and they left 8 on base. The Rockies were 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 on base. Manny Machado got his 6th steal of the season, so he has been moving on the base pass, but we all know that Trent Grisham got caught stealing there late in the game. That was his first time getting caught stealing this year, so a very costly time for them to get caught stealing. And Jace Tingler, after the game, said this is a learning experience and a really good learning experience, and I agree with him. We can move forward. I know people are frustrated, but 38 games in, we still have a ton of time to go. I think it was Troop who called in, who said, like, let's just keep watching the team, let's keep cheering for the team, and I agree with them. There's still a lot of time to go in the Major League Baseball season. That is it for me. We are all done here on 97.3 The Fan. Hope you enjoyed a full day of baseball. That was a lot of baseball, 2 games. Usually the Padres don't have to make up too many games because they don't ever miss any games. But today you got 2 games, and then you got some free baseball at the end. Right, Thomas? Free baseball at the end. Unfortunately, it didn't go the Padres' way. So the Padres, 21-17 on the year. Nick Ramirez takes the loss, and I just got to thank everyone. I got to thank our guy, Thomas Andrews, on the board. And I got to thank Adam Klug. I got to thank Jesse Agler. I got to thank Tony Good Jr. And I got to thank Dave Marcus. 28 years as the Padres engineer. That is pretty darn impressive. Yes, thank you, Thomas. He deserves that because
Dave Marcus, he really
has to put up with a lot. He has to put up with a lot. So thank you, Dave. Thank you. I think I already said thank you to Adam Klug. Thank you to Karen Cerulli. And Thomas is giving me the head like, okay, it's time to go. Get out. Okay. All right. Thomas, now you can hit the close once I say I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for joining us for today's game. For all the latest news on the Friars, stay tuned to your home of the San Diego Padres, 97.3 The Fan, and the Padres Radio Network.